There's no room in this brotherhood for brothers who are not behind us all the way, he warned. With almost visible relief, the brethren, like panic sheep who see that a hurdle has been opened in the fold, galloped towards the opening.
No worries about that, your supremacy, said Brother Watchtower fervently.
Commitment must be our watchword, said the Supreme Grand Master.
Watchword, yeah, said Brother Watchtower.
He nudged Brother Plasterer, whose eyes had strayed to the skirting board again.
What? Oh, yeah, watchword, yeah, said Brother Plasterer.
And trust and fraternity, said the Supreme Grand Master.
Yeah, and them too, said Brother Fingers.
So, said the Supreme Grand Master, if there be anyone here not anxious, yea, eager to continue in this great work, let him step forward now.
No one moved.
They're hooked. Ye gods, I'm good at this, thought the Supreme Grand Master. I can play on their horrible little minds like a xylophone. It's amazing the sheer power of mundanity. Who'd have thought that weakness could be a greater force than strength? But you have to know how to direct it, and I do.
Very well, then, he said, and now we will repeat the oath.
He led their stumbling, terrified voices through it, noting with approval the strangled way they said, Figgin, and he kept one eye on Brother Fingers, too. He's slightly brighter than the others, he thought, slightly less gullible, at least. Better make sure I'm always the last to leave. Don't want any clever ideas about following me home. You need a special kind of mind to rule a city like Ankh-Morpork, and Lord Vetinari had it. But then he was a special kind of person. He baffled and infuriated the lesser merchant princes to the extent that they had long ago given up trying to assassinate him, and now merely jockeyed for position amongst themselves. Anyway, any assassin who tried to attack the patrician would be hard put to it to find enough flesh to insert the dagger. While other lords dined on larks stuffed with peacock's tongues, Lord Vetinari considered that a glass of boiled water and half a slice of dry bread was an elegant sufficiency. It was exasperating. He appeared to have no vice that anyone could discover. You'd have thought, with that pale equine face, that he'd inclined towards stuff with whips, needles, and young women in dungeons. The other lords could have accepted that, nothing wrong with whips and needles in moderation. But the patrician apparently spent his evenings studying reports, and on special occasions, if he could stand the excitement, playing chess. He wore black a lot. It wasn't particularly impressive black, such as the best assassins wore, but the sober, slightly shabby black of a man who doesn't want to waste time in the mornings wondering what to wear. And you had to get up very early in the morning to get the better of the patrician. In fact, it was wiser not to go to bed at all. But he was popular, in a way. Under his hand, for the first time in 1,000 years, Ankh-Morpork operated. It might not be fair or just or particularly democratic, but it worked. He tended it as one tends a topiary bush, encouraging a growth here, pruning an errant twig there. It was said that he would tolerate absolutely anything, apart from anything that threatened the city. And here it was. Oh, and mime artists. It was a strange aversion, but there you are. Anyone in baggy trousers and a white face who tried to ply their art anywhere within Ankh's crumbling walls would very quickly find themselves in a scorpion pit, on one wall of which was painted the advice, "Learn the words." He stared at the stricken wall for a long time, while the rain dripped off his chin and soaked his clothes. Behind him, Once hovered nervously. Then one long, thin, blue-veined hand reached out, and the fingertips traced the shadows. Well, not so much shadows, more a series of silhouettes. The outline was very distinct. Inside, there was the familiar pattern of brickwork. Outside, though, something had fused the wall in a rather nice ceramic substance, giving the ancient flettons a melted, mirror-like finish. The shapes outlined in brickwork showed a tableau of 6 men, frozen in an attitude of surprise. Various upraised hands had quite clearly been holding knives and cutlasses. The patrician looked down silently on the pile of ash at his feet. A few streaks of molten metal might once have been the very same weapons that were now so decisively etched into the wall.
"Hmm," he said.
Captain Vimes respectfully led him across the lane and into Fast Luck Alley, where he pointed out Exhibit A, to wit... "Footprints," he said, "which is stretching it a bit, sir. They're more what you'd call claws. One might go so far as to say talons." The patrician stared at the prints in the mud. His expression was quite unreadable.